Rewind, your week in review is sponsored by the Transportation Development Association of Wisconsin, sharing one goal, enhancing the quality of life in Wisconsin through the development and maintenance of a strong transportation network. The Transportation Development Association of Wisconsin, it's how we get there.
Because I don't want to go backwards. I want to keep going forward together. That's exactly where we're going to go. God bless.
I'm Steve Walders.
And I'm J.R. Ross.
This is Rewind, the Wisconsin Eye on Wis Politics. A joint look at this week in Wisconsin politics. But first, Wist I Was There. Governor Walker talks about record flooding west of Madison. 15 inches of rain, an estimate initially $108 million in damage. And then we have Charles Franklin talking about his latest poll. Then we have Gordon Hintz saying, here's what we don't know, the questions we still have about Foxconn, and tearful testimony in the Capitol about how there are 240 wedding and party barns, but they're in two categories, those that are regulated and not regulated. Wis I Was There.
Well, folks we talked to yesterday across the region, the one common thing is that they're in areas that have never flooded before. The shoebox, for example, they had hundreds if not thousands of shoes out, never been in a floodplain, never had flood. He talked about, I think he said 50 years had been there. A couple of the folks inside the shelter here today talking about just not expecting that. And so obviously our heart goes out to every single person who's dealing with this. If this is your home, if it's your situation, it's a disaster. No matter what the overall declaration is, it's a disaster. It's why we yesterday declared a disaster area for the state of Wisconsin.
We are seeing a much closer race than those polls pre-primary. To make the comparison, you can see it's 46-48, a two-point Walker lead in June among likely voters. So where are we today? Among likely voters, 46-46. Dead tie.
Why is Governor Walker and Foxconn using a model on the campus when President Trump is visiting that includes a Corning glass plant that is no longer happening? Why is Governor Walker announcing innovation centers in Green Bay, in Eau Claire, yet nobody there has heard anything about purchase price, economic justification, or when there will be a closing other than it will happen after the election?
When I first started researching business, there were fewer than 20 barns in Wisconsin. Since then, there are over 240, and they are not being held to the safety requirements or the alcohol licensing. Is this fair to the wedding venue small businesses of Wisconsin who have jumped through all the necessary hoops to ensure compliance?
So, the primary, August 14th, mm-hmm. August 15th through the 19th, Charles Franklin with Marquette goes into the field. And so that is such a timely thing that I want to spend some time talking about the results of the latest MU poll. Let's open with Governor. What he found, Mr. Franklin's poll found 46-46, 6% Phil Anderson, 2% don't know, refuse. What's your takeaway from 46-46? Margin of error 4.5.
It's odd in some ways because it's most of your incumbent, you don't want to start out tied with the challenger. But in the three polls you saw previously, Walker was actually down. Public policy polling, a Democratic firm, had a poll out Friday last week, late afternoon, down by 5 points. Emerson College out in Boston, I believe, had him down by 7 points. You go back to the end of July,
NBC
had him down 13 points. So this is almost like decent news for him. It's about where it was in June last time they talked. It was about a 4 point, I think, with registered voters, 2 points with likely voters. So it's a close race,
right?
Which is not unexpected. Now, the questions that I have, and it shades everything else about the poll, are, you know, the sample. Charles Franklin directs that poll. It's the most transparent poll and we have in Wisconsin in terms of they put all the crosstabs on the website, they have all the questions, the order of the questions, who they talk, I mean, they put everything out there.
He just sent me this morning gender crosstabs on Trump and the governor, so you're right.
That said, it opens up the door to like more questions about this poll than a lot of other ones. And because it's such an important one, it drives a narrative in Wisconsin about politics. One thing that people looked at with that poll is the likely voter sample.
Yeah.
It is about, if my math was right, 47.7% Republican, 42.2% Democratic. Now, why is that important? Look at the Wisconsin environment we've seen this year. Rebecca Dallet, the progressive liberal judge from Milwaukee County, won a landslide in the Supreme Court race. Not a perfect predictor of the fall, but still, Dem enthusiasm indicator.
April election, go.
April election, special election wins for Democrats in the first Senate district
and the
10th. So what we're seeing on the ground, we're seeing nationally the winds blowing Democrats' direction. The same time, midterm elections in Wisconsin traditionally are a little more Republican. So what to make of that sample? Is that sample a reflection of what we usually see in Wisconsin in midterm election? Or is it missing the Dem enthusiasm that we've seen on the ground? That I don't know yet.
Right.
Also, it's August. It's mid-August. It's not November.
It's a lifetime from November 6th.
So that said,
in politics,
this is going to drive the narrative that this race is dead even right now.
Okay, let's listen to Charles Franklin. He was asked, it's about a less than a minute clip. He was asked about the head-to-head in the governor. Charles Franklin, please.
Is it deja vu again for the governor's race?
Well, I think it's close again, and we saw something like this in 2014. If we go back and look at July and August and early September, we saw a fairly close race in 2014, even with Burke up by, I think, a point at one of those times. And then we saw a trend through the fall. Here again, we're seeing a kind of close race, and we don't know what direction the trend may take through the fall or if there'll even be a trend. But I think close races at this time of the year, we've seen them before. And the question is, how does it play out over the campaign as both sides have to make their cases and we find out which one's more persuasive?
Okay, I want to drill down, JR, on the favorabilities, both for Governor Walker and Tony Evers. Favorability, 47%, 47%, 6% don't know, refuse. I also want to say how Governor Walker played offense this week. You and I just saw a press release. We're launching a $1.9 million campaign in social media to attract the up to 250,000 American veterans who are now returning back to civilians. He also said this week, by playing offense, let's DOT look at expanding Highway 141 in the critical Fox Valley. But any takeaways on his favorability, 47-47-6?
Walker was underwater in the Marquette poll, kind of middle of his bid for the presidency, after it fell apart, until like last year, I think he's kind of like even back out or gotten close. He's been in a couple points either way. Democrats look and say, hey, he's an incumbent below 50%. And again, remember the partisan nature of the poll. So, you know, people have asked, well, maybe he's living worse off. That said, Republicans look at the right track, wrong track number. And that number continues to be in positive territory above 50%. It's 53 this time, 52
yes, 53,
last time.
Yep.
To Republicans, that is the number to watch. As long as it's positive territory, they think Walker will creep toward that number, maybe not hit it, but creep toward it toward November. The questions are, he did that in 14, but that was also in a Republican wave. Will he do that in 18 in what could be a Dem, whatever, Dem tailwind, a Dem wave, whatever we're going to see? Can he hit that number with that going on? How is the national environment going to affect him when it comes to like what his ceiling is?
Okay, now let's look at Mr. Evers, favorable, unfavorable. 38 favorable, 27 unfavorable, 35% don't know, refuse, which is six times the don't know, refuse of Governor Walker. So does this mean that Governor Walker's strategy is to, I'm going to use the term I heard this week, demonize Tony Evers and to move this 35% don't know into a pro-Walker
Politics
category?
101 tells you that if you're an incumbent and your numbers aren't that great, or they're just okay, you have two choices. You can either try and build yours up, which Scott Walker has nearly universal name ID in Wisconsin. It's hard to change the perception of him. Or you can tear the other person down. Look at what we've seen in the last week since the primary. The state GOP immediately went on the air with an ad attacking Tony Evers about teachers who didn't have their licenses revoked over inappropriate conduct. We had WMC start an ad campaign. We had AFP start an ad campaign. So Scott's Manufacturers of Commerce, Americans for Prosperity, conservative groups. Their mission seems to be to try to make Tony Evers unacceptable to voters.
And now GOP has got a second ad again saying...
Same topic.
Yeah, same topic. I think the theme is Tony Evers knew about teachers' misconduct.
Tony Evers probably got some kind of bump out of the primary because of the positive attention of winning. but he's still not that well known. They're trying to use that window to define Evers before he can find himself. He announced Thursday that he raised $1 million
right.
in the primary.
That's how
Thursday.
He played offense this week.
So
raised $1 million in 1 week.
That allows him to get up on the air sometime soon, I'm going to guess. They won't try and paint a picture of Tony Evers before he paints it himself.
Okay. Now let's turn to the U.S. Senate. Also back to the Charles Franklin poll. The head-to-head, 49% incumbent Democratic Senator Tammy Baldwin, 47% Leah Vukmir. Leah Vukmir had just had a vigorous primary. Are you mm-hmm. surprised that is that tight?
The people I talked to were surprised about the poll, were surprised by the number, because we saw a poll not long ago had her down 13 points to, or something like that, to Baldwin, now or 15. Now, I don't get the impression anybody thinks that the Senate race would ever be a 12 or 10-point blowout in Wisconsin. But the perception had been that Baldwin is comfortably ahead. Now, is this a blip or is this a trend? Whatever it is, for Leah Vukmir, because the Marquette poll so drives a narrative in Wisconsin about politics, she can take this poll and say, okay, donors, there's a chance here. Hey, national groups, you should be looking to spend money in Wisconsin. There's a real race here. Now, I'm not going to say the race is a toss-up now, because the other indicators aren't there. The national environment, the financial advantage that Tammy Baldwin has, and I need to see more than one poll to say this race is a toss-up. But Vukmir has an opportunity now that she didn't have before to make the argument of it's right. Vice President Pence is coming in next week, apparently, for Vukmir for a fundraiser, according to Politico. We will watch and see if any of the national groups come in and spend money on her behalf. And talking to people, if you see that independent organizations coming in to spend money, that tells you where it is in the pecking order. The fact that in the governor's race, that's tight in the Marquette poll, and you see three groups attacking Tony Evers and two groups defending him, versus in the Senate race where there's nobody on the outside, no independent groups on the air, that should tell you where those races are a little
now
bit.
Now let's look a little deeper into the U.S. Senate. The favorabilities for the incumbent, Senator Baldwin, 46% favorable, 42% unfavorable, 12% don't know, refuse. That's double Scott Walker's number.
It's no surprise. I mean, it's a consistent thing with federal office holders versus state ones. I mean, one, Scott Walker is a unique brand in Wisconsin politics because he's been through the 2010 race, the 2012 recall, the 2014 reelection, the presidential bid. I mean, people know Scott Walker. He
yes.
is. Baldwin is much less in the public eye. Ron Johnson, the same issue in 2016, where he wasn't as well known as Walker or even as Russ Feingold at the time, the guy who he beat in 10 and then beat again in 16.
Okay.
So that may be part of what's going on. Again, with the sample, how's that impact how our numbers look? But with Baldwin, he's already spent like $5 million on TV, something like that. So has she improved her lot because of that spending? Does she have more work to do? Because she's still under 50%, even after spending that money, that's something to watch as this race progresses.
But the Baldwin campaign now knows she's up against State Senator Vukmir, whose favorables, unfavorables, 30% favorable, 29% unfavorable, a very high 41%, don't know,
which
or
is
refused.
Why Tammy Baldwin has a TV ad on the air saying basically she's not for us. Now go back to 2012. The tagline that Baldwin used against Scott, Tommy Thompson was, he's not for you anymore. Fast forward to 2018, it's, she's not for us. I think there's a parallel messaging there going on of that this candidate is not for you. She's for the big corporate interest, the shadowy ALEC organization, which I don't know how people know who ALEC even is, but trying to portray her somebody's beholden to special interest. It's a similar attack to what we saw with Tommy Thompson 6 years ago.
Yeah, Senator Vukmir is the former president of ALEC. Okay, I want to go to President Trump, but I want to add this caveat. This poll was conducted on the president before Mr. Manafort and Mr. Cohen pleaded guilty. In other words, the poll window 15th through the 19th, and I think they both pleaded guilty in New York and Washington federal courts on the 21st.
Yeah, one found guilty, one pleaded guilty.
Thank you very much.
The last Marquette poll was taken, came out of the field right before the Helsinki news conference, in which
yes.
President Trump had a roundly criticized performance next to Vladimir Putin. It's just interesting that, get beyond his numbers, I mean, like if you look at the tariffs, everything else, they're not terribly popular things.
Okay, but let's focus on his numbers. The latest poll, and we're not going to spend a lot of time on it, 45% approve, 51% disapprove.
Slight uptick from where he was a month ago.
Okay. And then the last thing I want to highlight is, where are the Republicans in light of a very controversial president? Those who identify as Republicans, 87% support the president, no surprise, 94% of Democrats. But I am so intrigued by the independents. 41% approve, 52% disapprove.
So a couple things here. One, this illustrates why you don't see people like Scott Walker or Paul Ryan often being loud voices against the president.
Yeah.
The base is with President Trump. It has become President Trump's party. If you go against him, you risk alienating your base. That's part of the issue, what's going on.
Okay. I talk to a lot of people, as you do. The six Senate races that are going to decide party control. Now, you and I can disagree on whether the ninth, Lemahue should be in here. So I haven't included it, but let's go through them one by one. Let's start with the first. Frostman versus Jock, rematch.
Yes. Look, the path for Democrats is kind of simple to win back the majority.
Yeah.
It's also complicated. Hold on to the first after winning the June special election. Beat Howard Markle in the 17th Senate District because it's the most Democratic-leaning district, top of the ticket of the ones that are there.
Yes, that district, the composite compiled by the Wisconsin Realtor Association, shows Markle, it's 47% GOP.
The question is, where do you go from there? Now, Democrats have to defend two seats, although I'm not sure how strong a defense they have to put up just yet. In the 25th, you have Janet Buley and Mr. Bolin. In a Republican wave year, that district has proven it can be close.
But that region voted for President Trump, which is why I listed her on my six. Go
absolutely.
Ahead.
And if it's a wave year, I mean, Bob Jauch held that seat, had a close race in 2010. Buley had a close race in 14, three or four points with a margin of victory.
Yeah.
But it's the environment. If it's a pro-Democratic environment, it's hard to see that one being in play. Now, again, we will see what the environment looks like in November.
But while you're talking about the Buley district, the Realtors composite shows that to be 45% GOP.
The 31st Senate District, another Democratic held one right now.
Open.
That was Kathleen Beinhout's seat. President Trump won it in 16. Governor Walker won it in 14. Again, wave years. Normal environment, Dem environment, it should be okay for Democrats. The issues they face are Representative Jeff Smith has not been known as a prolific fundraiser. He was two terms in the Assembly, I believe. Has lost a number of races, but also has a cadre of supporters who go out and do stuff for him. Mel Pittman ran against Meinhout four years ago. What to watch there? What's the environment? Are we seeing in northern Wisconsin and western Wisconsin a true change, a true shift, where these white, non-college-educated voters are moving toward President Trump and will turn out for, not just that, but will turn out for him in a midterm election? That's something to watch there.
The Realtors composite in District 31, which is based on votes for governor in the past, 46% GOP. Talk to me about Roth and Snodgrass.
No.
Go.
This is where it gets interesting. So that path for Democrats. Hold on to the first, which, to be honest, that's a Republican-leaning seat. You know, how will it perform with Governor Walker at the top of the ticket versus a spring or a special election in June where it was driven more by Frostman and Jock?
Mm-hmm.
Hold that seat. Go to the 17th and win. Now where do you go? The two most obvious choices are the 19th Senate District. You have Roger Roth and Snodgrass. Here's the issue there. That district, top of the ticket, I've seen it competitive one time, and that was in the 2012 presidential election. It was like 100 or 200 votes difference between Obama and Romney. Other than that, that's a solidly Republican seat, especially in midterm elections. The wild cards are Kimberly Cock. Two plants are slated to close. They're trying to keep one open right now, 450 jobs.
Right.
I am not seeing evidence of a urgency by state senate to come back and vote on that package right now. Without that package, how does that impact that race?
And
I don't know.
Democratic Snodgrass is also using the failure of the Senate, which Senator Roth is the president of, to act on the dark store controversy. The reason, Governor Walker telling WISDOT, look at expanding I-41 right through the heart of that district. That's certainly part of that, right? That's a context?
Absolutely. So that's one the Democratic Legislative Campaign Committee has identified that as one of their target races. Now, folks I talk to look at the 23rd and think, well, that's an open seat. It's the Republican-leaning seat, but it's open. So usually open seats are easier to play in. Again, that dynamic of what's happening in western northern Wisconsin, who will turn out this fall. Kathy Bernier has been a target. pretty much every time she's run.
She wasn't
going to
run for re-election in the Assembly until the Senate seat open.
She's been targeted every time. She keeps finding ways to win. The questions are, like, how does... And the perception is that her positives aren't very high, but she keeps winning. So how's that race going to play out? What's the environment going to be like there? Who turns... That's the thing I'm trying to figure out, that math right now for Democrats of 30,000-foot view, you see how they win the state Senate.
Right.
You drill down, it gets a little more complicated figuring out the exact path. And again, with Markline, like, don't write him off. He's beaten the top of the ticket performance in his district before. He's a prolific fundraiser. He had almost $500,000 in the bank.
Realtors Association composite in that district, the 17th, 47% GOP.
So he's done it before. What's it look like this fall? And again, the national environment. I mean, like, when we saw wave elections in 06 and 10 and 14, the waves break late sometimes, and they take people you're not expecting. So is there a seat that we weren't expecting on this list that could pop up and be one? Maybe. But that's the stuff you got to watch.
I don't list the 9th district, which is Devin Lemieux versus Kyle Welton, because the GOP composite shows 56% GOP. Is that relatively safe?
Yeah. I mean, like,
for the Republicans?
They talked about it 4 years ago, but it became a Republican wave year, so that never materialized. I just don't talk, I don't find many people tell me that's a truly competitive seat. Now, one that's not on your list that you have to watch is the Leah Vukmir's current state Senate seat, the 5th.
58% composite.
Now,
GOP.
Normal environment, that should be a Republican seat. Republicans are struggling with college educated women in suburban districts. That is a suburban district. Now, yeah. I talk to people who think that it still should be a Republican seat. This fall, Dale King is running for that from the Assembly going up.
Yeah.
But if we see that dynamic of a true collapse of the GOP brand with suburban voters, that's one to watch. Now, I'm not saying it's going to be competitive for sure, but just keep an eye on that seat. It's one on my list, just to watch at least.
Okay. You and I have covered quite a few campaigns for governor. Use of state airplanes is always an issue. I'm quoting now from a WKOW-TV story from 10 years ago. According to DOA records, during his first 2.5 years in office, Tommy Thompson flew 203,000 miles on state aircraft. And then when he ran for governor in 2002, Jim Doyle, against Republican Governor McCallum, said, "We don't need a state airline." So that's kind of the backdrop.
Still have a very nasty email from a McCallum spokeswoman about the use of that plane to ferry some students back and forth and stuff like that. But yeah, it's an issue every time.
It's an issue every time. So that's the background for the One Wisconsin Now report showing that after he stopped running for president, between September of 2015 and April of 2018, the governor flew 114,000 miles on state planes. The cost to taxpayers, it was $818,500. The average cost of the governor's official flights, annually $317,000. So the governor did, according to public records, let's say mm-hmm. that, these are DOA records. But then when you look, it's fair to talk about Doyle's use of airplanes. In 7 years in office, Governor Doyle flew 194,000 miles on state planes. In one 20-month period, the Governor Doyle flew Madison to Milwaukee 36 times, Madison to Green Bay 37 times. Before I talk about the Walker aide calling this report a mischaracterization, give us some backdrop on the debate over state planes.
So it's been going on forever. We went back and looked in the spring about Walker's use after he came back from running for president. Saw it spiked in this period compared to the past years. The context is this. Governor Walker came off that presidential campaign bruised and battered in Wisconsin. His
yep.
numbers were not good.
Yep.
If you talk to his campaigns, his aides back then, they had a plan. They were going to have Governor Walker go around the state and rehabilitate his image, do listening sessions.
The town halls?
Listening sessions. They said, watch his budget between showing he's re-engaged and connected and a budget that they said would reflect what he heard in those sessions, it would help boost his poll numbers and get him back on his feet, which, by the way, set the stage for announcing for re-election that fall. And lo and behold, that's what they did. So his use of the plane was a part of a design to get around. Now, the Walker people talk about all the people he visited, the funerals he went to and stuff, But these listening sessions were a key component to what he was doing for that year.
Yes.
All about rebuilding the Walker brand.
Listening session, town halls, by invitation only.
Invitation only.
Okay, now let's talk about the governor's spokesman defending that. The One Wisconsin Now report is a gross mischaracterization. Governor Walker has shown an unparalleled level of commitment in supporting, listening to, and meeting with hardworking families in every corner of the state. I think the takeaway is taxpayers should always know how our public officials use their airplanes.
The debate is, what's the best use of a governor's time? I mean, if you're going to ask a governor to drive to Hudson, that's not a good use of his or her time, right?
Yeah.
What gets these guys in trouble, and it's been a guy so far, is when they're flying 35, 39 miles. When they're a plane's flying from Madison to Milwaukee to pick up the governor and then take him somewhere else. That's when you get in this, well, how many flights, 29 flights of 40 miles or less?
Yeah.
That
yeah.
detail is what kind of starts to muck up things a little bit for him.
But Governor Tommy and McCallum and Doyle and now Governor Walker took some of those smaller, shorter flights.
Absolutely.
Okay. We are now must move into your stock picks.
So the Ad Wars. It did not take long. First ad was put out last Tuesday night after the primary from the GOP. And looking at it right now, I've got five groups already spending money, independent groups spending money in this governor's race. I have Americans for Prosperity, $1.8 million.
Wow.
Wisconsin Manufacturing and Commerce, $2.6 or $8 million. Republican Party of Wisconsin, I believe around $900,000. It's the first 2 to 3 weeks of the race.
Yeah.
On the Democratic side, I've got the Democratic Governors Association through a Stronger Wisconsin, $1.8 million. And I've got a Greater Wisconsin Committee, about political fund, about $400,000. Roughly.
In the first week?
Well, the first couple of weeks, like those are the buys we know so far. It's roughly a 3-to-1 advantage for Walker or for Walker forces. What I'm seeing, though, is interesting is the three-pronged approach to attacking Tony Evers' education. The RPW on teachers in the classroom who have been accused of inappropriate behavior and the license revoked. WMC accusing him of squandering the historic investment education, in their words. Americans for Prosperity saying that Evers praised the Walker budget on education. Now he's running for office, he's turning against it. In the response ads, I'm seeing a couple of things. One, both DGA and Greater Wisconsin talked about how Tony Evers worked people across the aisle to fix the law. Mm-hmm. They're not leaving that attack unchecked. They're putting some response up in the air. And then you saw DGA go after Walker on roads, education, healthcare. You want to guess why those things are in these ads? Polls. They're telling these guys that these are things that move people. With the anti-Evers ads, the question is, can they, you know, Evers is the education candidate, right? He's the superintendent. Walker wants to call himself the education governor. They want to try to negate that perceived strength because education is a huge issue. Look at the Marquette poll.
Yeah.
One of the top issues out there. More people want to
jobs was first, and then
spend money on education than they want to cut their property taxes. They're trying to find a way to at least muddy the water on that issue, so it's not an advantage, or at least not as much of a one for the Democrats.
Okay, we got 2 minutes left. Stock report mixed.
Foxconn. So the Marquette poll, Governor Walker started an ad campaign, what was that, a month ago? Trying to praise how or show there's an impact outstate
on this thing. A statewide impact. Green Bay Innovation Center, Eau Claire Innovation Center.
Very little change.
Milwaukee headquarters.
Very little change in the Marquette numbers. So it's not moving people a lot. A little bit of a bump up in Milwaukee, but it's within the margin of error. But go back and look what they're saying now out of Foxconn. This, they call it Generation 10.5, the bigger panels. They acknowledged a month ago or so that we're going to do Generation 6, but that's still down the pipeline. Well, now they're not committing to Generation 10.5. The questions, there's more fodder for Democrats of, well, what's this really going to be? Gordon Hintz is demanding, the Assembly Minority Leader, okay, I want a new estimate on the jobs this is going to create, the investment it's going to generate, like what's going on here versus this.
Yep.
Bosco keeps saying the $10 billion and 13,000 jobs is still attainable,
yep.
But the mix of people that are working there has changed. Now I'm talking about like 10% program robots, rest of me idea guys.
And the governor went to the Foxconn site last week. Okay, you got 50 seconds. Give us a falling.
So this is the last time we're talking about Donald Trump falling after Marquette.
Do I have your promise? Okay.
I don't want to say ironclad.
I understand.
But this is what I've gotten.
It's your intent.
This is what I've gotten out of this. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what happened. It doesn't matter what is in the news. It doesn't matter good or bad. He is locked into this band of like 42 to 40% approve, 52 to 56%. It's just like ironclad. And what I've found talking to people is they believe that the people who love Donald Trump love him no matter what. I don't care if this was taken after the guilty plea and the guilty verdict. I don't care if it's taken after the Helsinki news conference. Those folks, one, don't trust the media, mainstream media particularly, so I don't, it moves their numbers. And those who don't like Donald Trump, you can't convince them otherwise. I think he's locked in on the spot. And look at how he's changed perceptions in Wisconsin. Tariffs. Could you imagine seeing a poll eight years ago, seeing a poll that showed Republicans supported tariffs, majority of them.
I understand.
Or that Democrats, majority, thought they were a bad thing. It shows the parties now are parties of ideology, of personality, not of ideology.
JR just took a public pledge that President Trump will not be part of future stock picks. The news goes on. I'm Steve Walters.
And I'm JR Ross.
That's Rewind for August 24.
Rewind, your week in review, is sponsored by the Transportation Development Association of Wisconsin. Sharing one goal, enhancing the quality of life in Wisconsin through the development and maintenance of a strong transportation network. The Transportation Development Association of Wisconsin. It's how we get there.